Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Breeders' Cup Seminar 2022. Alongside Seth Mara, I am Anthony Mormino. We will be going over the Friday card and then the Saturday card. And depending on if you're watching us on YouTube, this will also be run on the network Friday and Saturday morning. And this is Christmas for me. This is...
I'm just noticing.
What?
As I look into the monitor here.
What?
How am I wearing purple and you're not? That's crazy, Doc.
You
are always color-coordinated for the big events.
I have to say, and I just got the bad news, is because I was saving my Breeders' Cup shirt that I have and tie for Saturday morning, and I just realized I got bumped for the Flintstones. So my point is, Seth is 100% correct, and I've learned that for your enjoyment, the network is not going to have a live Friday and Saturday show. That I had my nice Breeders' Cup thing with the little emblem here, a nice purple tie, all set.
Because I'm looking in the monitor, I said, I brought my purple tie.
You did.
Always, I thought you might have a purple coat today.
No. That's what's going to happen. So with such an early start on Breeders' Cup Day, live from Keeneland.
10:30 post time on, and let me update folks. Friday, all the branches will open at 11 a.m. and the first post on Friday is 11:55. Saturday, first post is 10:30. So the clubhouse is going to open at 9:30. All the other branches will open at 10 a.m.
All right, so that's it. So then, obviously, the guys in the room, they'll carve this up. They'll give you the Friday on Friday, and then you just have the Saturday on Saturday. It's just terrific. I mean, just some big picture overthoughts. I've said this many times before about the handicapping for me is mostly done. Now I'll spend Thursday putting together the tickets. And mostly, you know, I've said this before, my tickets are, I have six horse exacta boxes. I won't have them in the sprint or the classic and the distaff because those three races don't make sense to me, mostly for the same reason. Well, the distaff because of the short field, and the other two because there's going to be gigantic favorites, and I'm not interested. And there's 11 other races to go crazy. So I'm a six-horse exacta box guy. So to me, that's a $2 ticket. That's $60 times, so you can figure that out. And I am a part-wheel trifecta guy, and I am a win player because practically all my horses are double-digit odds, and if that's the only segment I get right, Seth, I want to get paid. And usually, with the type of horses I like, it will cover, on Breeders' Cup Day, it'll always cover almost 100% of my exotic wagers in the race. And so, you know, you gotta keep falling forward. If you have a winner, you got to get paid. The payouts are magnificent. I do think that 12 of the 14 races are exactly what I envision for the Breeders' Cup. Obviously, without Jack Christopher going, which is a unique story in itself. I'm not getting into it because I don't understand it, but it makes Jackie's Warrior a prohibitive favorite. And, you know, then there's Flightline, which is a great sporting event. I might make a one-way exacta punch, but that's about all I could come up with there. But the rest of the card, it's exactly what I hope for. I'm hoping it's what Mr. Gaines and Mr. Galbraith hope for.
Stay tuned for my look at the Breeders' Cup Classic because I may be the only person in America going off the radar there.
No, I think, you know,
betting-wise, probably
you're
not.
You're supposed to bet against?
Yeah. I mean, as a fan, you have to root for Flightline. But, again, we'll get to that.
I mean, one of the things that's interesting is...
I was just going to say,
could he run like a 107 and win? Could he bounce like 20 points and win?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah.
So it's tremendous.
But, yeah, I have to the $2,000 bankroll on Saturday. And kind of going with what you were alluding to with the being contentious, I was looking through, you know, I've obviously handicapped, but I'm thinking, man, that, I don't know if there's any bet. I'm really feeling like,
no!
Okay, I got it. Even kind of spreading in some of the picks, I still feel like, yeah, there's three horses I'm leaving out that are pretty good. So it's annually, it's one of those days where you have one or two good opinions, you could wind up having a very nice
weekend. We haven't even started, and... when I say the 11 races, I pre-mentioned, I'm not talking about the sprint, the distaff, the classic. The other 11, going in, I completely expect to be wrong on 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah.
But I'm very enthused. I don't know which 8 or 9 it is, but I'm very enthused going forward, I've always felt that that's why this is such a unique event in the sport. And I read on Twitter, somebody said something great. She said, the general public thinks the Kentucky Derby is what the Breeders' Cup is. And I knew exactly what they were saying because I have felt the same way. I'm like, we don't settle championships at the Kentucky Derby. Matter of fact, this year I think it'll definitely not be. But this is what I think people, the mainstream people, think the Kentucky Derby is. But the added thing is the betting. It's so glorious that I've said it before. I always think that you should save a little bit each week or each score you get for this day, take the rubber band off. You have to, I mean, you just have to cover so many bases. But, you know, this isn't like me doing the Saturday card at Aqueduct. You can cover a lot of bases here, and the math still works out. So you ready? Because the first race is one of them.
Absolutely.
Well, on Friday, a couple of years ago, I want to think 2018, they started moving. They kind of, this seems to be the pattern that they're going to stick with. Remember, they had Ladies Day, used to be Friday. This seems to be the pattern, which is the juveniles go on Friday. We kick it off race six, scheduled to go at approximately 3 o'clock. The Breeders' Cup juvenile turf sprint, 5.5 furlongs on the turf, obviously. And obviously, she's in here. 12 in the main body, and I must confess, I know you you look at AEs more than I do. What's the cutoff time that they have to scratch out?
Oh, that
is it tomorrow? I should say I shouldn't speak in that term. Is it Thursday?
I don't know. I know we're taking advanced wagering for Saturday on Friday.
They have to be out by then.
Yeah.
So I apologize for not knowing that hard rule, but the also eligibles have to get kicked out. Because if you remember going back to Rich Strike, he was like, what, 45 minutes away from being automatically scratched. Yeah. Wayne Lucas had to scratch to let him in. So it's not like a regular day at the races that they can go in. So
we don't have advanced wagering tomorrow for Friday, though, but I'm sure the rules are the same.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same time frame. So we have 12 in the main body. I'm not going to address 13, 14, or 15 who are the AEs. Oh, guys, thank you. That's a beautiful, beautiful board you have for our YouTube followers and the people on the network later. There you have the field going in from Lady Hollywood from the 1 to the Platinum Clean, the 12. Now, remember, that is the maximum field size. And I think if my math is right, Seth, 5 fillies are in the group taking on the boys.
I have an 11, 2, 3, and 7. I couldn't get past Speedboat Beach. You know, this is the same team that has Cave Rock later on. So you wonder if early on they were saying, now maybe they just think they have a sprinter, but if early on they were saying, you know, we got Cave Rock, we'd like to take this one to the Breeders' Cup, but why face our other good runner? So let's try the turf in the speakeasy. The buyer number obviously went back significantly. This horse debuted on the dirt at Del Mar, a 104 buyer. But again, they already have Cave Rock for the big race. And again, maybe this horse is more sprint met anyway. But they go over the turf. They win the turf stake. The buyer goes backwards 20 points, but still an 81, which for a two-year-old, that's pretty solid number still. And I just think this horse is very, very fast. And so I'm going to put this one on top. I will be enamored if I get the 6-1 on this one that the morning line is talking about. Love Range in the second spot. It's Wesley Ward. Wesley Ward has won this race, the Juvenile Turf Sprint, 3 of the last 4, and he did it last year with the filly Twilight Gleaming. So Love Range coming in with the 2 wins, bookending the try over at Ascot, which, you know, an okay try, but came back and won the stake last time up at Saratoga. I think Love Range is very tough, even as a filly, but as they say, Wesley Ward won this race last year with a filly. Third spot, I'm going to take a look at Private Creed. The numbers maybe for this guy are a little light, and I think that'll justify our getting that 12-1 on the morning line or maybe better. But I think the talent is there, and as I say, the buyers are a tool in the toolbox, but you look at what this horse has done, and he just gets it done. So I think Private Creed, very playable. Oxymore, Chad Brown runner, I think could be live, and I'll put that one underneath. I didn't use any of the Euros. The Platinum Queen will certainly take some action being a two-year-old to be older last time. But I was listening to the Steve Bick show this morning, and he had Kelly Riley on talking about some of the Euros. And she made the great point that this horse was getting a lot of weight from those older horses. If you look, we're looking at upwards of 20 pounds as the weight break there for the two-year-old facing the older. Still very, very good. If I was going for a Euro, I think Lady Hollywood's very interesting off the last race over in France, very fast race. But for me, I have it 11, 2, 3, and 7.
All right, and a couple things. You'll see my 8, 9, 2. I'm not going to the divorce. I'm going to the reception. I'll also point out that you see the 8, 9, 2. My six-horse box is the 3, 11, 12. I said on Saturday's show when Seth and I were working the Big A and Keeneland that I thought this race was laden with early speed. And concerning 11 Speedboat Beach, Seth, doing Del Mar for the network on this day, the 104 is the number that I think is more suspicious than the 81. The 81 is good enough, but I think the race flow is, I think there's an abundance of early speed. And as I said, American Apple, who might again be close to 50-1 when the wagering is done, she has enough speed to stay up just behind them, I think. And she's shortening up from the Matron at 6 to 5.5 with speed. I think she's going to get a great trip, just like I thought she was going to get an outstanding trip in the Matron. I think she's going to be a big price, and I think she fits. Now, here's an example of, if you believe the buyer speed figures, she's 6 points higher than Speedboat Beach on the square. And she's three times the price. The world has gone crazy. I think she's a fit. I wish there was head-to-head wagering with her and others. I have Love Reigns in here. I think she's good. I thought her race at Ascot was good. You know, she was up on the pace. She got run down. She came back to Bolton Landing. I expect her to run very well. My other live ones here are Sharp as Attack, going out for Doug O'Neill. Has only sprinted on the turf. He's one of the speeds in here. I think he'll be good till the end. Shortening up. The reason I like him, Seth, as all these speed horses, he ran 6.5 at Kentucky Downs most recently. So I'm hoping, of the speeds, he has the best bottom and can hang on. And I have Private Creed coming out of the Indian Summer off the pace as part of my mix. Also, I am interested in what the Platinum Queen, I'm interested in how they're going to bet her. We don't have stakes races in America where two-year-olds take on their elders, but quite an achievement in there. Dramatize is the year I don't like, even though Ryan Moore is on board. I think there are people were saying when she lost at 6 that 5 was probably better for her, and well, 5.5 in the United States to me is the equal. But I am 8-9-2, as you see, and in my 6 horse exacta box you can throw in the 3, the 11, and the 12. But a great start to the Breeders' Cup 14 race program.
And you said you're going to the reception, not the wedding. For people who don't remember, a few weeks back, you had American Apple on top of the Matron at a huge price. So congratulations again there. Tyler's Tribe's the interesting horse in this race. Coming in from Prairie Meadows, undefeated, very fast. But Connections, who had never been to the Breeders' Cup before and trying the turf for the first time. It'd be a fun story if the horse won.
Well, I give them credit because they said coldly, it's the distance. They wanted no part of a 1/16. So I give them credit. They may never have been on the biggest stage before, but I think they know their horse.
Yeah.
And they didn't get swallowed up by the bigger purse. They recognize, either it'll work or it'll not work. But what they're saying is the 1/16 wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
So they got that part right. We'll see.
Seventh race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. A couple of $1 million up for grabs as the two-year-old ladies go 1/16.
You know, and as I... brilliant work, guys. Yes, another great pitcher. I always liked the purple and white of the Breeders' Cup colors. I didn't like when they went to that world championship with the black and the orange. I always liked the purple and white. That's why we call the number 10 saddle cloth the Breeders' Cup saddle cloth, because that's the white on purple. 14.973 for one of the original 7 Breeders' Cup races, won by a filly named Outstandingly. In the inaugural, can't believe it's 38 years ago, the Breeders' Cup. I'm on the far outside, and that is clearly not good at all. But I'm going to get a price, and I get Flavien Prat. I get the third career start. I get an offspring of Curlin. Won the debut at 7A. Seth, it's a long time ago, I know, but that's when I was remarking that I had never recalled the scheduled 7/8 races at Saratoga as early in the calendar as they were this past summer. And then Raging Sea was off for 2 months and raced well in the Alcibiades. I have to go uphill from the outside, but I am the 14 Raging Sea for Chad Brown, making the third career start. I love the debut. I love the debut going two turns. I got probably all the worst of it at the post position draw at Rupp Arena, but I might be near double digit odds for these connections. A huge price next is Grand Love, a gun runner who is 20 to 1 on the morning line, won on debut at Saratoga. Then remember, when they changed up this Churchill Downs fall, which was about, I want to say 6 years ago, the Pocahontas used to be a one-turn mile prepping for the Goldenrod, but they moved it to the September meet. They made it a two-turn race, and I thought Grand Love, although a beaten favorite that day, I like coming off the September 17th two-turn effort for a gun runner. Then I have Chop Chop, who I see you also have in the mix for Brad Cox, and number three, and Tell Me No Lies, who is coming out of the victory in the Chandelier, trying to make it four in a row. I did think this was a wide-open race. I see you have Chocolate Gelato on top, who was brilliant, breaking the maiden, then sharp in the frisette. But I thought on balance there was about seven or eight in here who were live, and I wanted Raging Sea. And I just hope that Flavien Prat can save me some ground on the first turn.
Yeah, I just went between the Alcibiades and the frisette, and I thought the Alcibiades runners certainly deserve some consideration.
Yes,
with good runs over the track. But the frisette winner, Chocolate Gelato, as you say, looked really good breaking the maiden up at Saratoga and then followed it up in the grade one. She comes in great form for Pletcher, Rapoli, Irod, Ortiz on board. Second spot, I went with Wonder Wheel because then I'm plugging in some of the horses coming out of the Alcibiades. And Wonder Wheel, when I had Mark Cassie on, kind of towards the end of the Saratoga meet, we were talking, and at the end kind of wrapped things up, and he said, you haven't mentioned Wonder Wheel yet. And he then was very effusive about Wonder Wheel. So it was a little bit of a disappointment, I'm sure, for him as the 7-5 favorite to run second that day. But she rebounded nicely with the gutsy win in the Alcibiades. So I'll tilt there. Chop Chop, close up second, and Raging Sea, close up third in the Alcibiades. You have to like them off of those efforts. I will say Chop Chop, Joel Rosario on board. Joel Rosario has won three of the last four runnings of this race. Atomically is interesting to me. Moves into the Pletcher stable. And if you look at the that Florida Stallion Series race you won back on October 1st, the boys ran later that day, and they were more than a second slower. So she was pretty good there. You know, one that I may include in a bigger mix, potentially. Didn't have in my top four, however. But for me, I have a 10, 5, 7, and 14.
And for the YouTube history, mine is the 14, 9, 7 that you see. The 3, the 8, and the 12, the 8 being Atomically, is in my mix for my 6-horse exacta box, as is Shoplifter, who's going to be a huge price. And I know, I mean, I never talk in these terms, during the rest of the year, because, you know, day in, day out, I would say a 6-horse exacta box sounds stupid, but four of these horses are going to be 20 to 1 or more. Yeah. It's just the nature of the singular nature of the day. All right, on to the eighth race on Friday, scheduled to go approximately 4:20. It is the Phillies' turn on the turf, the Grade 1, Filly and Mare, Breeders' Cup, Juvenile Phillies Turf.
I'm 5, 4, 10, and 13. I will say Euros are only two of the last 10, and those go back to 2012 and 2013. So I'm going to take a little shot with Pleasant Passage in here, the Shug trainee, who is 2-for-2 so far in the career, broke the maiden in the career debut, and then followed it up winning the Miss Grillo. I just think it's a race where you can take a pop with a horse like this working well at Belmont subsequently, and we're getting 12-to-1 on the morning line. I think we will get a pretty good price in here, so I'm going to take a little shot with the Shug trainee. free look goes out for Chad Brown. He's won four of the last eight runnings. His last win was 2018 with Newspaper Record for Klarovich. I have a feeling Newspaper Record probably better than Free Look, though. But we've seen a couple of good runs from this one. Maiden Breaker, and then second behind my top pick, Pleasant Passage in the Miss Grillo last time. So I'll put that one in the mix. Mediate, I'm going to pull in a horse, a Euro. It's Aiden O'Brien, Tabor, Magner & Company, Ryan Moore on board. Comes out of a good Group 1 placing last time and should be a player in here. And Zagira, the number 13, I had David Aragona on with me this past weekend. And we were talking and we were looking at the Belmont races for the weekend. But I got some Breeders' Cup thoughts from him. And this is a horse he mentioned. But I'm wondering if maybe, because he tweeted out yesterday, the day before, there's a horse that got a post position that I really liked that now I'm not so high. And I'm wondering if it was this horse, because getting hung outside is not a bonus. But I'll put it down in the fourth spot because I think this horse could be a little bit interesting at perhaps a little bit of a price. So for me, I have it 5, 4, 10, and 13.
And I'll say this. I think Nick Temerow got it right that the favorite is 4-1.
Oh, it's that kind of race.
It's that race. I mean, for better or for worse, and on balance, there seems to be no stick out at this date. The Euros coming in, I don't think they have anybody shaking in their boot. Mediate is the favorite at 4-1, coming off back-to-back runner-up positions in Group 1 racing, one at the Curragh and one at Newmarket. So, you know, I think that says a lot right there. You see my numbers. I'm Seth and I have Free Look up high. I have this horse on top, really. You know, coming out of the firm effort in the second career start, a trip that repeated could be good enough to win with a slight improvement with this field of many, many well-balanced horses. I mean, 14 in the main body in here and Free Look, the yielding turf course in the Miss Grillo still raced well, and I'm just taking the offspring of Tappet on top. Cairo Consort coming out of the Natalma, a second place finish to Last Call, draws an excellent post position, in my opinion, and gets two turns for the second time after nearly a handful of sprints that I think were just getting us ready for this spot. And I think Cairo Consort, who gets Joel Rosario for the first time, 12-1 on the morning line, I'm expecting a very good run. I have Be Your Best, who was, I thought, very professional at Saratoga. You're talking a two-year-old going two turns and looked fantastic. Upset at 6-5 in the Miss Grillo. I'm expecting a bounce back. She's 8-1 as she was on debut. And then I have G. Laurie also coming out in the detail, but they are adding blinkers. This horse was an impressive winner. I want to say that was, the Thursday before Travers, maybe the Wednesday when they were running down at Colonial. Then they immediately jumped into Grade 1 action. Did well, the offspring of an Oscar performance. Now they had blinkers. William Buick gets them out for Grand Motion. I will also, and I have the 11-5-13. So my six-horse box is 4-2-6-11. The 5, Pleasant Passage, the Shug horse, Seth's top pick. And the 13, you mentioned Phil Bauer, runner. So it's, you know, a very wide open race where I think it hasn't happened too often. And when I say too often, Seth, I don't know that it's happened more than once that the favorite has paid double digit and won a race on the Breeders' Cup. I think Dreaming of Anna years ago when she won the Juvenile Filly, I think she was double digit odds as the chalk. And I think she's the highest-priced chalk winner. So there haven't been too many. We might have another one in the Juvenile Filly Turf.
A little bit unusual that the penultimate race is the Juvenile.
Well, they did it last year, too.
That's the chaotic. I can't quite figure out what.
Well, they're not helping the Euros. The race is going off at, like, midnight for them.
Yeah. So you're staying up either way. But the Juvenile will be race number 9. $2 million up for grabs. 8.5 furlongs the distance.
I despise my selection here. What can I? It's awful. Just put it up. Put me out of my agony. I feel like a weasel. I had Blazing Saddles in the Champagne. I had Cave Rock on debut. And I must say, I like Juan Hernandez, and I want to see him do well. And I hope by the time these races are over, everybody understands that the pronunciation number four is fort. It's not the English word forte.
Why do you say that?
Because they had a conversation where Mike Rapoli told them it's the Italian word meaning strong.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I thought that was pretty well known, but I'm in the minority there.
No, I didn't. I was unaware
yes.
of that myself.
Yeah, so, and I think also forte, you would have that little slash or whatever.
Do you?
I think so.
I don't know.
No?
And also, you know.
Hey, with Mike, it might just be a story.
Like,
I mean, I love him, and I know him personally. Like, I love him to death.
I don't know if you get the act, because, like, if I'm typing a word, that, like, if I'm typing resume, there's no way for me to get the.
Oh. You know what? When I put it in Excel, like creme, it doesn't. It fits it in. Maybe you don't have a newer version of software, right. Mr. Seth. But I said it before. I love 11 of the races. This is one of the three. I mean, I have Lost Ark, who's 20-1 underneath for Todd Pletcher. Listen, I've been down this road with juveniles before. I mean, heck, a couple years ago, Bolt D'Oro ran like a 101 in the American Pharoah, and they made him. And he crashed and burned to probably the. I don't think Storm the Court has won since then. He's like 0-14 for Peter Erden. But he was great on debut. I mean, he was great. And he's been great in two grade ones following. And he's by Arrogate, who is, he might actually do enough with Offspring down the road. But I couldn't. Blazing Sevens. Probably be a by mix. I just didn't know where to go. I am against Fort, and I am against Blazing Sevens, because albeit part of In the Black for the Aqueduct meet, I've said my piece about accomplishments on off goings, so that's set aside. But I have Lost Ark, who I think loves two turns. I expect to run very well in here for Todd Pletcher and Luis Saez. One on debut. Won the Sapling, and forgetting the Sapling is a listed stakes race. It's a mile, two turns at Monmouth. Very good. Throwing out the Breeders' Futurity, which is helping our odds. I have National Treasure on the outside for Bob Baffert, adding Blinkers. Had no chance in the American Pharoah behind Cave Rock. And on the rail, number one, Hurricane J. 2-for-2, goes two turns for the Austrian and Nyquist. 3-8-10-1-4-5. I shouldn't have said that, because this is not a six-horse exacta box race for me. But, let's see Cave Rock, go to the hoop, get his championship, and see if Offspring of Arrogate can develop as a three-year-old.
I went there, too. It's just hard to get past the two triple-digit buyers. And so put that one at top. 3, 4, 6, and 10 for me. Fort, now I feel funny, though, saying Fort, because I think everybody does think Fort. So now I say Fort, and everybody's going to go, hey, he's not saying that right. Like, I don't quite know how to pronounce the word. Okay. But I'm gonna
go ahead. I said, Mike is a ribbing guy.
I didn't see that.
Because I think...
That certainly makes sense, but
is Vinny Viola part owner in this horse too?
St. Elias,
yeah, it is. Yeah. That's Vinny.
I'll put Fort in the second spot. I've liked him throughout the career. I've said this a number of times. I was in here doing OTB Live the day this horse broke the maiden, May 27th at Belmont, and I said, "Oh, this is going to be a nice runner." And immediately in the winner's circle, Todd Pletcher said, "We're going to the Sanford." Disappointed there, but has now come back with the hopeful and the Breeders' Futurity. Over the Keeneland Strip, makes sense. Blazing Sevens for Chad, nice winner in the Champagne, can't ignore that, in only the third career start. And National Treasure becomes, the other quote-unquote Baffert runner. And again, I was listening to Steve Bick's radio show this morning, and he had Sid Fernando on, who's doing some interesting pedigree analysis of some of the runners. But he mentioned, and I think he's probably right, if you look, Baffert looks like he may be wanting to make a statement in Kentucky this
you
weekend.
You think?
And not just with the stakes runners, but look at a couple of the undercard runners. Friday, the fourth race on this card we're talking about, he has a second-time starter called Arabian Lion, who could be a very good one.
Yeah.
But race number one on Saturday, he has a $2.3 million firster, American Knight, who they are now saying Baffert is claiming might be his best two-year-old. So take a look at Cave Rock and then on Friday and then think, oh, Arabian Knight might be even better in the first race on Saturday. So the other Pletcher could be a little bit intriguing in here. So for me, I have a 3, 4, 6, and 10.
Translation, strong, which is, you know, what I thought. But I will say that they do not have it as a long-sounding A, but they do have it as a two-syllable word. I say Forta, but Forta, it is not the word most of us would be most familiar with in every day. So we'll see how they go about it. But the story that Mike said, I do know that he said that. So that's
yeah. I mean,
where it is.
We'll see. But like I say, I hadn't heard that, and I'm sure a lot of other people hadn't heard that. So now, if
I have been surprised at the number of the people who do this full time, seemingly haven't heard that it's not an English word and are going on. And the 10th race of the finale, as it was last year, with Modern Games, scheduled golf at 5:40. The Grade One Juvenile Turf at a mile, and as wageringly goes, this is more along the lines of the races that I have felt in the Breeders' Cup. As my top pick is 30-1. Who say you?
I have a 6-9-1-4.
The winner is.
And the winner is coming out of a win in the Bourbon. On the move to Kentucky, ran third in the With Anticipation up at Saratoga, but then went down and seemed to appreciate the turf down at Keeneland. So I'll put that one on top. Nagarok for Graham Motion at 20-1. I think this horse is an absolute player. Now, it does stretch out a little bit, but I kind of like that. A couple of 6-furlong sprints most recently, the Maiden Breaker and then the Futurity, now stretches to the mile. I think this horse could be an absolute player at that 20-1. Victoria Road is the Euro I'm going to toss into the mix. Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore coming out of a group win over in France. Before that, won another race in France. So comes in with a 3-race win streak, including the group win. Could be a player. And Silver Knot, 3-1 as the favorite on the morning. Yeah. And again, I was listening to Kelly Riley this morning on the radio, who focuses a lot of her attention on the Euros. And she made the point that Silver Knot looks absolutely legitimate for Appleby and Buick, but this she wasn't quite sure if the two turns was going to be right in his wheelhouse. So maybe there's a little bit of a fault that you can find, perhaps.
And one quick thing, people should know that the mile at Newmarket, like the Guineas, is a straight mile.
Yeah,
they might look at that and go, well, what do you mean? Go, that's the Roley mile that they just... like Frankel did.
So, and that was clearly her point, that the two turns is not going to maybe fit in the wheelhouse exactly here, but this clearly is.
Which is surprising.
Yeah,
the pedigree,
a talented Euro. Like, yeah, and she was... She was tempering it.
She wasn't like a big, but
if you're looking for a fault, that may be an angle. So for me, I have it 6-9-1-4.
This is in the group of the 11. I just think this is a great race. A great betting race, 7-8-4 for me, and you add the 1-6-10 for this is a six horse exacta box, but really good. And I like horses that in the summer at Saratoga win going two turns, these babies, by not going to the front, slowing it down, and then reaccelerating. This horse was professional on debut, hit the board in the Bourbon after trying at Kentucky Downs, is an offspring of Hard Spun. Smart Strike, this should hit him right between the eyes. Luis Saez rode on debut. He gets back the mount for Mike Maker. We talked all summer long how potent that combination was. But none of that really matters because it's 30-1, and I have a horse who I think is in the mix. Is he on the, is he on the outside who doesn't want to stakes? Yes, but he's 30-1, and I got a good post, an excellent trainer, excellent jockey, love the pedigree. I'm very busy right next door for Chad Brown, who won on debut, rooting, then caught the yielding turf, beaten at 3-4 in the Pilgrim, Favian Pratt. I have Silver Knot and Victoria Road for Aiden O'Brien underneath here. Then, as I mentioned, the 6 and the 10, and the winner is. And then Web Slinger for Mark Cassie, who won the now a two-turn turf stakes race at Monmouth, prepping for this with Dylan Davis, who gets the mount. So 7-8-4, 1-6-10 is my six-horse box. And all I can say is let us have nothing resembling last year in the finale. And speaking of him, I am amazed at how many people think he's like a lead pipe cinch in the mile. Get to that.
Yeah,
I have
like
him second.
But, yeah.
I mean, but they're talking like he's a Miesque or something. So we take a quick break for television purposes to wrap it up. This will be the Friday morning show on the network. And when we come back, Saturday's Bonanza.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now taking a look at Saturday's Breeders' Cup program alongside Seth Merrill. I am Anthony Mormino, and I guess at least for the Philly and Mare Sprint, it'll be breakfast at the Breeders' Cup. I've been on the West Coast for most of the past ones that have been out there, and I'm presuming this isn't the first time we've run in the morning, but it just is kind of like a wake-up call that we're going to have a morning race with the Breeders' Cup, and this is one of the three that were added in 2007, bringing us to 11. And it obviously was a great addition. The first couple were great additions. And we should probably note that Fingal's Cave, who I think had a chance to draw in, what, she come down with a fever or something?
Yeah.
David Dong said just bad timing. So she misses the race. I think it's a terrific race. Mostly because I'm against the favorite, I guess, and that's a good starting point for me always. So 7/8, Phillies and Mares, grade one. Probably this should be a $2 million race. This should not be a $1 million race. This should be a $2 million race.
5/8, 4/7 for me, Frank's Raquette. I don't get the 6/1. Buyer figures are only a tool in the toolbox, but you look at the last three buyers, how is this horse not going to take a lot of action? And I just think deservedly so. It's Bill Mott, Luis Saez on board, a horse that just seems to be in very good form right now. I think the 7 furlongs just kind of hits this one square in the eye, potentially. So I'm going to put that one on top and hope the price holds up. Good Night Olive got the wake up last time as far as a triple digit in the Ballerina, but you know, we're talking five wins and six career starts, Chad Brown and company. And so this one, I think, is also very dangerous. CeCe, winner of this race last year, comes in good form, having won a stakeout at Santa Anita last time, and is certainly logical and obligatory. Just one of those hard knockers that has been easy to like throughout her career. 8 exacta finishes and 13 career starts. So I'll go there. I did not know what to do with Echo Zulu, who just seems like the three-year-old season hasn't quite lived up to the two-year-old season. But I will note that three-year-olds have won this race three times in the last, 4 years or 5 years. Gamine and Kafefi, they were winners of the test in their career. Now, that doesn't fit Echo Zulu, but you go back to 2018, and Shamrock Rose was not a test participant and won this race for Mark Cassie at 25-1 from post 14. So maybe that history bodes well for Echo Zulu. I couldn't pull the trigger, though. Like I said, I didn't know what to do with her. She's just super talented, but I left her out. Slammed. A little bit interesting to me off the win last time at Keeneland in the TCA. I couldn't use that one, the New Mexico bred, but I will point out, I've been saying this now for a couple of weeks, this one and Senior Buscador, and we'll talk about that one a little bit later perhaps, but I think Todd Fincher is a trainer who is based down there in the Southwest, I think is under the radar of a lot of people, but he may be one that's on the move and worth paying attention to going forward, just as a trainer, not necessarily on this weekend, but just watching going forward. But for me, I have it 5, 8, 4, and 7.
And because I didn't think there was any Kofefis or Gamine, and I mean the Gamine of 2020, because people will often tease me, I think good naturedly, when I see them about how I'll often pick against 3 to 5 shots like Gamine, etc., and then they beat you. I go, well, I just march on. I never once look up and go, oh my goodness, 260. I said, but I chased beating Gamine all last year, and I got her at the Breeders' Cup when my cold Edgeway CC exacta box, which I guess that doesn't make it cold, paid for the whole trip. I mean, you know, it was just, I didn't like Bella Sophia. I'm like, here I go, and it came back $100, and we didn't have it just once. And I don't think there is a big time. So I liked Echo Zulu. If there was a horse like Kofefi was 3 years ago, or Gamine was in 20, I might not, because I understand the questions you have, because I have the same ones. But I have to tell you, Seth, I don't think there are. And I can remember when I first came back to the network in the spring, I was talking about Obligatory, who I just, you know, I'm like, I'm so never in the right place with her. So she's out. But I thought this was a middling group for top flight, evenly balanced sprinters, which is my favorite type of race, by the way. So that led me that I like Echo Zulu on the outside, who might be like, Exotic Wood was a couple years ago, 25 years ago, for Ron Ellis. If she had one more race set, I'd be really for her, for foundation and what she's going to have to do. But I'm Echo Zulu. I'm Edgeway, who was runner-up last year in this spot. Now, she has not improved this year, and CeCe has not improved this year either. I'm hoping that they're apexing here. I need them to. Good night, Olive. Even on debut, when favorite, she ran second. That's her only blem. And I will say that Obligatory did make the six-horse exacta box. I can't completely throw her out. My fear, Seth, is that I see those Judgment colors in about the five path rolling late. But I have Echo Zulu. I think it is a very good group of sprinters, and she might have the most talent, but listen, folks, she's only run once since the Kentucky Oaks. So it's 13-2-8 for me.
In the fourth race on Saturday's Breeders' Cup card, it's the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, $1 million up for grabs, a quick 5.5 on the grass.
You know, it's amazing, Seth. 20 years ago, we never heard of these types of races besides that Monmouth Park when they were going 5 furlongs. Now they have 28. I mean, it's like, where have you been my whole life? I have the softest opinion. I have no opinion on this race. I mean, if it's supposed to be Highfield Princess or Golden Pal, it's going to be. And I could never take those two in this race. It's such a... So, I was... I'm 7, 11, 8. And I honestly... Arrest Me Red, for the price, for the connections, has shown the ability to run, I think, fast enough if Golden Pal doesn't give us our best. The thing about Golden Pal that's unique to me, Seth... He's always like two in front, 50 yards out of the gate. He's got the quickest speed I've seen in a long time. So he's had a full career. You know, it's, you know, you throw out the race at Ascot and the race at York. And, you know, I know these types of horses don't go in the Hall of Fame, Seth. I'm betting that futuristically. But boy, you remember Lady Shipman. She was like one of the first high level turf sprint specialists we have. Golden Pal has kicked up the baton. To me, it's probably become the hardest race in the world to handicap. So I took a price horse. That's a Recipe Red. Casa Creed, who will clearly sit off the pace here. Are you surprised they chose here versus the mile?
I just think it's a horse where they had a hard time picking one way or the other.
And I think they get hurt by the 5.5. I think they get hurt by the idea that the turf sprint can be four different distances. But I think they're going to be off the pace, and I think there's going to be some serious pace for, and I'm talking the first 4.5 furlongs. I'm expecting a cavalry charge inside the eighth pole. I have Golden Pal just because he should be able to stay out of any traffic early because of his amazing quickness. And then they say that this Highfield Princess is supposed to be the goods coming to the United States. But I did not wake up with any type of, and when I finished, you went for Golden Pal. Oh, you have a Recipe Red. So that's you know, Castle Creed. So we're shockingly in the most difficult race on the card, in my opinion, we have the same trifecta box.
Yeah, I mean, that's Golden odd. Pal, you know, won the turf sprint last year, won the juvenile turf sprint 2 years ago, 4-for-4 at Keeneland. So I just, you know, I looked at the stats, and of course, coming off a nice win right here at Keeneland in the Woodford, I couldn't get
Could
past
you see
that
him being
one.
Even money?
He'll be a short price, but it's just, I will readily admit, when you get to certainly the Derby with 20 horses, but you get over 12 and you get to 14, for me it's tougher to kind of then suss out what I think we're going to wind up with. And
oh,
so
okay.
it's hard to say exactly where we'll wind up. The two is probably right in a 14-horse field.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't make them 6-5.
But I have a Rest Me Red right underneath, you know, the other Wesley Ward, and why not off of, you know, the form this horse has shown. And Casa Creed, I went back and I looked at the Jiper the last 2 years. This horse has won the Jiper the last 2 years at the 6. This is the 5.5 coming up on Saturday, but it's certainly been proficient in that one. I always think the Jiper is a salty race in New York for these turf sprinters, so based on that. And then Campanelle, another Wesley Ward runner, Frankie Dettori hopping on board, who they say Frankie Dettori going to spend a little time out in Southern California this winter.
That's what they say. Yeah.
So Wesley Ward and the Stone Street Runner. But, yeah, I left out the Euros and I left out Highfield Princess, but and that may come to regret that. But as I say, to me, the Saturday card is tough top to bottom. So 8, 7, 11, and 4.
And I will say this, if this is that race is probably the race that I most regret not being, as you like to say, boots on the ground, because usually I hook up with people and there's conversations, and through Wednesday, Thursday, somebody might tip your ear that they would say, like, I really like somebody here, you know, and then when they're talking to me, they know I don't want the 3-to-1 shot, and they'll be like, and I'll reinvestigate. But being out here, you know, I'm less inclined to find somebody that, no, this horse is, you know, going to run better than odds is something, because it's a race I need the most help. I mean, I stand here telling you, or sit here telling you, I go, I will. I can't think of a single horse wins that race, Seth, where I'm shaking my head at the end. On to the fifth. I am not going to say the sponsor's name, but it is the Dirt Mile.
7, 5, 9, and 10, Cody's Wish. It's just hard to get past the last few races for Cody's Wish. Three wins, three buyers going in the right direction. The Forego was just phenomenal, and the Forego beat Jackie's Warrior. So Cody's Wish on top. But, boy, you talk about a horse that's gotten good. I mean, look at the last four races for Gunite, the number five horse in here. Three-year-old steps in against older, so that's a big ask. But three-year-olds have won four of the last 10 runnings of this race. So a three-year-old can do it. And this horse has just really been impressive over the past few starts, including the last right here at Keeneland. So I'm going to put Gunite in the mix. Cyberknife, another three-year-old stepping up against older. But you can just look at the, you know, the three-year-old season of Cyberknife, which has been very, very good. They elect to try this Dirt Mile rather than facing Flightline a little bit later on. I think they're going to be a cozy fit and very competitive in with this group. And I mentioned earlier Todd Fincher with Senior Buscador. I thought the ACAC win just touted this horse as being very, very live and at this mile distance to boot. So Senior Buscador, interesting, potentially at a decent price. We're looking at 12-1 on the morning line, but I think could be a player in here. I have it 7, 5, 9, and 10.
I love a horse in here. I mean, when I say to you, I'm all simplification. If I was a horizontal, he would be a single in here. Yes, you have to get past Laurel River. Cody's Wish going two turns. Cyberknife worries me, but I love simplification. The three-year-old draws down inside, will be shortening up. I think it's had talent for a long time. I think they spotted him very well. 15-1 on the morning line. I'm very attracted. This is one of my favorite plays of the day, simplification in the Dirt Mile. I have Laurel River, who was incredible, going 7/8 in the Pat O'Brien. Now, that's Del Mar, but that's still that that's the August jump-off way to be, you know, and I think he's going to run well as an offspring of Mischief. I have Cody's Wish. I have Cyberknife. I think they've done right by the horse going in this spot. I do think this is a race that I thought had the most horses in it as a percentage who I don't think can win the race. I think there's four horses in here that cannot win the race. I don't feel that way in the previous race, but I love simplification in here. And I love it, but I listen, Pipeline is a major player. He's part of my six-horse exacta box. I'm 2, 6, 7, 9, 3, 5 in here. But this race, for me, all goes through simplification. This is the type of race where my part wheel is a single on top. I think he's in a great spot. I love him at 15-1. I love him at 10-1.
The sixth race on Saturday afternoon will be the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mayor Turf Grade 1 event. Obviously, $2 million up for grabs, and a mile and 3/16 on the grass is the trip.
You know, you even get to the Breeders' Cup, and you're like, you know, Chad Brown. And they're all not here. Some of them are here, but not all of them. Well, one of them's here. She's going to run later, but because she wants to go a mile. You're just like, I am 5'3", 12. You'll see in the chicklets in a minute. Then I'm 4'10", 11, throw it in. I went for Tuesday as a daughter of Galileo, mostly because the last two races have been on a soft going. I don't think it's not going to be summer firm, but I hope it's going to be firm. But the other thing is, another thing we can't do at the Breeders' Cup is get this Filly and Mare turf at a given distance. We're now going to go a mile and 3/16. We've gone a mile and 1/8. We've gone a mile and 1/4. We've gone a mile and 3/8. I'm not so sure the last 16th is going to be the cup of tea for everybody in here. Maybe not even the final furlong. I don't have that doubt with Tuesday. Nashua is my second choice. This is the offspring of Frankel, who's 5-2. The North American I have on the highest is the Canadian Mora, and then I have Virginia Joy. I just, in Italian and Rojure, I'm just against. Whether it's in Italian, the distance, and doesn't get the easy trip, or Rozier, who I just want others with a kick. I think it's intriguing, but Tuesday is my where I land.
I went 3-11-4-10, and I have the 3 and the 4 both coming out of the Prix de l'Opera over in France. They were also Rans, but do know, and they're also 3-year-olds. But do know, 3-year-olds have won 4 of the last 6. All 4 of those were Euros, and 2 of those, Adaria and Wahida, 2020-2017, respectively, were also Rans in that Prix de l'Opera race. So Nashua coming out of a good second-place finish there. I'm going to put that one on top. I'll have Above the Curve in the third spot. They bookend in Italian. I'm wondering, can this horse steal it? I don't think that's out of the question in this field.
Boy, you know, it happens from time to time. You just want to pull your hair out. Even in these big races, yeah, you let somebody just steal it. Absolutely, you can.
So, you know, Joel Rosario on board, and they go down the length of the stretch and into that first turn, and he has a little bit of breathing room.
I'll tell you what, if he gets a breather with her on the backside,
yeah,
with his strength in the lane, it becomes a problem.
And then Virginia Joy in the fourth spot to me. So a couple of Chad Browns in the mix and a couple of Euros as well. Interesting group in here, but I have a 3-11-4.
So you left Brejeur out, as I did also.
Yeah. I looked very closely, yeah, but did leave that one out.
Moyer didn't interest you?
It did.
I was surprised.
I didn't know what to do there exactly. The Queen's Plate was very impressive. Stepped in against Older last time and certainly looked very good, despite the disqualification. I looked very closely, but eventually left her out of it.
And we should let, our more casual fans know that I think if you got 20 racing people together, the Prix de l'Opera in Paris is probably the second greatest filly or mare turf race in the world.
Well, as evidenced by the Breeders' Cup results.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Rans come over and win here.
It's Wahuda just trounced him at Del Mar. She literally ran right past me like the rest were standing still. On to the seventh race. One of the original sevens. And because Jack Christopher has stuff going on, he didn't enter. It's the sprint. And he's 4-5 in the morning line. He might be lower when the wagering is finished. Yeah. Have at it.
9-4-2-6. Couldn't get past Jackie's Warrior. Tossed in a clunker last year. And if you're looking to take a shot against, you can look at that. Now, I would look at that maybe as opposed to the second place finish last time, because that was at 7 furlongs. Cody's Wish is very talented. Jackie's Warrior still fired a 109 in there. And the cutback to the 6 today is going to kind of, I think, mitigate what we saw last time. So I have Jackie's Warrior on top. But if you are looking in other directions, I thought American Theorem, coming out of a couple of decent races at Del Mar, was playable. The Bean Crosby win was very good. The second in the Pat O'Brien, I thought, still set the horse up well for maybe a good effort on Saturday afternoon. And Kamari, to me...
The mare.
Yeah, it's the mare, but she's 2-for-2 at the 6-furlong trip in the career. It's Wesley Ward. Won the Honorable Miss up at Saratoga 2 back, and then won the Gallant Bloom last time. She comes in very good form, and that Wesley Ward thought, yeah, I'll take the pop here, I thought was interesting. Elite Power for Bill Mott off of the win in the Vosburgh is very playable. Just seems to indicate this horse also moving in the right direction right now. 9-4-2-6.
Well, if Elite Power wins, Strobe might never be higher than 1-10 again. I don't have much of an opinion on this race. You can see my numbers. I'm against Jackie's Warrior, 0-2 at the Breeders' Cup. But as Seth pointed out, rightfully so, ran one tick, under a career best and lost. That's the Saratoga jumping off point, gets to work back to 6 furlongs. The race clearly goes to Jackie's Warrior. I'm taking American Theorem to come out of the clouds, pick up the pieces, and score the gigantic upset. I think we'll get better than 10-1 for the runner-up in the Pat O'Brien. I have Willie Boy underneath. It's hard for me to see Jackie's Warrior making a misstep at 6 here. It really is. Now, it was not the case I had last year, Seth, when he was 1-2. I didn't like him at all. I had the three-year-old Dr. Shivel who got beat in the last jump to Aloha West, who I have in here. Not a six-horse exact, a box roast. 4-10-9 for me in the sprint.
Willie boy, Chantel Sutherland, our boy.
Yeah.
She had a nice stakes win at Keeneland just a 3 or 4 days ago. Looked really good on that horse. Keeneland's eighth race is the Breeders' Cup Mile Grade 1 event, obviously. A couple million dollars up for grabs. A mile on the grass.
One of the originals. Another one of my favorite horses of the day, along with Simplification. 6-4-8-9 for me. And Paulo Lobo, you got to go back 20 years ago to Fardo Amiga, sends out this runner after back-to-back second place finishes at Woodbine and Keeneland. I guess it's easy for me to say, I'm against what Annapolis was able to do in the Keeneland mile, and I'm for what Ivar raced up against in a big way. We were well beaten in the Woodbine mile off, you know, to Modern Games, who I definitely feel as if the race goes in between. See, Seth has Annapolis, so that's the greatest thing about this sport. But I have Modern Games for second. I truly wish they hadn't gone to their QE2 off of the brilliant Woodbine Mile. I have Regal Glory, the mayor, hitting the board in here. And the filly, Malavoff, the 9, is my Euro. So 6-4, 8-9, and the 3 and the 13 are my jump-ins for the exacta box.
I'm going to go 11-4-8-6.
You like Annapolis.
I like Annapolis. I like that run. Stepping in against Oler for the first time in the turf mile. I will say it was a gorgeous trip. Kind of saved ground around the turn, and then things opened
inside
up.
Inside.
Boom. Yeah, I mean,
accelerate nicely.
And,
I mean,
yeah, and when things opened up, and that's what kind of stood out. Things opened up, he kind of moved very nicely. But that's what I looked at this, and I went back and forth and back and forth. But will we get that kind of ground-saving trip from the 11? I debated, but it's one of those where I didn't want to go against because I felt, boy, off of that race, I really like him. Here at Keeneland, I really like him. Irod Ortiz on board. I'll trust Irod to maybe get a good trip. But now, this is a three-year-old facing older again, and just to give you some stats, there's been 3 3-year-old winners in the last 10 races, all three of the last 10 runnings of this race. All three of those have been Euros. The Europeans overall, they've won 2 of the last 2, and they're 4 for the last 10. Annapolis, of course, an American-based 3-year-old runner, though. So we'll see how that works out. As I say, I had trepidation, but I put that one there. But there is a Euro 3-year-old, very good, Modern Games, and off the second place finish on the move back to... I like that they put the race back in Europe. In between, coming off the Woodbine Mile. Okay. The Woodbine Mile was very impressive. Before that, finished second to the very talented Baid. The Appleby-Buick combo won this race last year, albeit with a 5-year-old Space Blues, but they do have that one under their belt just a year ago. So Modern Games, to me, very tough in here. And then in the third spot, I'll go Regal Glory. It's Chad Brown runner who comes in very good form. 4-star day behind Casa Creed last time, the First Lady behind An Italian last time. I just think, again, the horse is in good form for Chad, Peter Brandt, Jose Ortiz on board, Ivar. Ivar, going into the Woodbine Mile, I like Ivar, and a lot of people were kind of critical of that one. I thought the second place finish was very good, and off of that, I liked Ivar in the turf mile last time, but Annapolis just got the jump on that one. Ivar, though, running late to be a good second, so... Yeah, I agree. I think Ivar is very, very playable in here in the Breeders' Cup Mile, 11-4, 8-6.
Up next at approximately 3:55, the Distaff. Only 8 in here, but a very select group. And I have a horse I cannot believe I'm going to pick, and I think I'm going to get a much better price than Nick Tamaro thinks.
This is one where I've been okay. I've kind of been married to Clary.
I've been divorced from her since day one.
I've really liked her. And with trepidation, I was kind of jumping at her. And some races, I stepped back a little bit from her, and she ran well. And she just this year, I think, has run very well. Sometimes better than I was expecting. And then I jump on board, though, and she would continue to do it. And if you're looking at that Saratoga race and saying, I can't go off recent form, don't forget. There was a whole story to that. She didn't run that day. You see fractures in the gate, and there was she had bitten her tongue, or she just was never in that race. So that's a draw line through completely. The subsequent workouts seem to indicate she's back on board. I'm curious. The 4-1.
We're getting better than that.
Well, because certainly Ness is going to take a lot of action.
They're betting the 1 and the 6.
Going to take a lot of action. And Nest was the direction I really had to overcome because Nest has looked really good. The win in the Alabama and then stepping in against Older in the Beldame. She, to me, is likely the one to beat. But Malathat, it's hard to argue with her season this year as well, the two Pletcher runners. And then search results for Chad Brown coming out of a close-up second behind Malathat in the personal ensign. But I'm intrigued. For a couple of reasons. As I say, I'm drawing a line through that. But this now puts even a twist on the what you've talked about for a long time now, and we've talked about Saratoga being the jump-off to the Breeders' Cup because it's kind of a toss-out race to boot. So she's now coming, you know, off the
early
Saratoga race, essentially, but seems to be working well. Clary Iron top for me, 4-6-1-7.
You know, the Todd Pletcher fillies were going so great, they just added on. But I think I'm going to get the best of it for price. I'm thinking I'm going to get the best of it with Trips if Society can do her job. And I think I'm going to get a much better price than 4-1 on Clary Iron, who I have been divorced from. But I agree. This is probably one of the few times when horse players will be in agreement that the August 27th race for Clary Air is a legitimate, true blue excuse. Everyone will be drawing a line through it. I said I think that follows it on a daily basis. And I think this is her moment, the Offspring of Curlin. I have Malathat from the rail finishing second. Ness, who's had a brilliant campaign, and will be the 3-year-old champion. Search results. I don't think it's possible, but gosh, what would happen if Secret Oath won this race and had an Eclipse Award ballot? Mm-hmm. But I think I don't think she ever peaked fast enough to run with these, and I don't think she's gonna do. I think she's much higher than 15-1. But I love Clary Aaron here, and because of the short field, it will not be a 6-horse box. I do think it's the big three.
I said after the Alabama nested probably sewed up the Eclipse, but I said with the caveat, if Secret Oath could win the Breeders' Cup Distaff, that would be an interesting conversation, at least. It'd be fun. It'd be a fun story with Wayne Lucas and whatnot. Yeah. I will also add, I had Mike Welch on the other morning, Sunday morning, and we went over some Breeder Cup workers and whatnot. And one of the ones he thought really stood out over the past week was Blue Stripe. And he said, I don't know what she's going to do on the, you know, Saturday, but Blue Stripe, he said, looked really, really good in the morning, 20-1 on the morning line. So I tossed that one out there. All right, the 10th race is the Breeders' Cup Turf. There is $4 million up for grabs as they'll travel 12 furlongs on the grass.
You know, I've thought about it for a long time. She's actually, Seth, she's probably been the horse that I have, I know for a fact she would be. She has been the horse that I have taken at odds on more times than anybody else. Because I know I've taken her 3 times and I have never taken any odds. I think she's the bee's knees. I think she could run in the arc. Her style is magnificent. She can gallop with you forever and then just explode. I am all warlike goddess in here. I think she's the King Kong in the race, and I got the World Travel of Mischief in here, Rebel's Romance. But I think warlike goddess for long distance turf marathon fillies, Seth, United States ones, she's probably the best I've seen. I'm not even so sure I've ever seen her best because she usually only has to run about a furlong and a half. Joel Rosario gets back on. I suspect he learned his flower bowl lesson. She is inside, and it is 3 turns, but I love warlike goddess in here. Stone Age is my second pick. We saw this horse in the 3-year-old turf season at Naira. Rebel's Romance on a winning streak, grade one winning streak from Germany, and then Gold Phoenix for Phil D'Amato, who is a terrific turf trainer out in California. Mishriff, to me, has gotten a lot of publicity for very few accomplishments, but I love Warlike Goddess. It's clearly, for me, it's clearly about she gets a trip, and I do think she's 9-2, but I do think she's going to have a bullseye on her back, and I think Joelle Rosario is going to see some gamesmanship within the 12 furlongs, and it's his job to get her out of it. But I think it's not often that I think a filly at a mare at a distance of ground on the turf is superior to the boys, but I think that she is.
I wasn't buying into her in the Turf Classic. Oh. As they came down the stretch there, I said, oh, okay, that was a mistake. And I had to put her in the mix based on
she's
that.
She's a beast.
But I had 13, 7, 5, and 2. I'm going to take a little pop with Highland Chief. I just thought this horse coming out of the wind at the mile and a half here at Keeneland just boded well for Saturday. Now, does get stuck outside a little bit, but it's a mile and a half. You have plenty of time to work things out. I will say, Graham Motion's on a little bit of a roll, and I went and looked it up just to kind of verify that, because doing the afternoon handicapping show, certainly his horses have jumped out. Well, sure enough, over the last 10 starts for Graham Motion, at any track, anywhere, his last 10 starters, 4 wins and 3 seconds. So the Graham Motion barn, and there's a couple of stakes win. There's a stakes win at Keeneland in that mix. This one kind of jumps out at me as just being a little bit intriguing at a 15-1 morning line price. Nation's Pride, once again, to go historically over the last 10 years, 3 3-year-olds have won this race in the last 10 years. All were Europeans. In fact, 7 of the last 10 overall have been Euros. The combo, Appleby and Buick won the race last year with a 3-year-old. So Nation's Pride coming out of the nice win most recently in that turf 3-year-old turf series in New York gets in the mix for me. Rebel's Romance among the Euros. Charles Appleby runner is also a serious player coming out of a couple of Group 1 wins most recently and has to be considered on that. And then I tossed Warlike Goddess into the mix as well. Fundraise, you know, you mentioned Mishriff. Had it been last year, Mishriff probably would have been definitely within the mix. This year, Mishriff is not the Mishriff of old, however. In the 10th, I have a 13, 7, 5, and 2.
And just for historical reference, the 2, 3, 5 is followed by the 7, 9, 11 in my 6-horse exacta box, which this is certainly a race that qualifies. The finale at approximately 5:40 on the last day of daylight saving time.
Ooh.
8 horses in here, and I understand he's a beast, but it is $6 million. I mean, even if you're running for second, my guess is that's $1.2 million. Only 8 mile and a quarter, the top of the stretch, the classic.
I alluded to it at the top of the seminar here. I'm going to take a shot. Well, it's 6-4-7-2. Flightline could be a beast. And clearly, you know, I have that $2,000 bankrolls, you know, on Pick Bets. Flightline is clearly going to be in there, particularly since there are some prices in the lead-up races, like Highland Chief. Flightline might be a beast and may get it done. But I just look at Flightline's running style and Life is Good, who I think is also something of a beast. They both like to be in front. But it may just be Flightline will say, yeah, Life is Good. You want to run with me? Let's see how that works out for you over the first 6 furlongs. And Flightline may just run away and be really that good in here. Is proven at the mile and a quarter, but in the Pacific Classic, you know, I think this is saltier than that Pacific Classic. But as you said, it was a 126.
He beat Country Grammar by 20 lengths.
This horse can go back quite a ways. But I thought, why not? Let's see if these go out and knock heads a little bit. An Epicenter, what we saw up at Saratoga, with the ability to maybe sit off the pace a little and then get a jump as they go into the lane. I just think this is a really intriguing, very talented 3-year-old. I'll take a little pop with Epicenter. Flightline, as I said, could be the one to beat. I may kick myself with this situation. But Olympiad, also an interesting player. With 6 wins and 7 starts so far this year, including a jockey club most recently at Saratoga, and then Life is Good in the 4th spot. It's a fun race. And, you know, as a fan, I hope Flightline wins, and just we all applaud. And it's just you know, a 6-for-6 victory, and more than that, I hope after that they have the meeting of the minds and say we're coming back next year, because all the connections have kind of said that outright or alluded to it at least. We'll see how that does work out. So again, as a fan, rooting for that, but I just thought Epicenter with this scenario, maybe we'll play around a little bit in here. 6-4, 7-2.
I'm almost hoping they go 8 and change, because I don't think what I saw in the Pacific Classic. I mean, I know the old folks, which I am now, the group of that says like you should never discuss anything with Secretariat's Belmont. I'm like, well, he went a mile and a quarter, and he just, you know, it was laughable how fast he went after clicking 6 furlongs in 9-4. It didn't even take any wind out of him. I mean, he's just titanic. I'm going to make a one punch exact, a 4-1. I have Epicenter underneath. Life is good. I think, you know, I was, I guess, in the small camp that thought the Whitney was not even 107 strong, and then the Woodward, the 97. I mean, I don't know. I would hope he'd be peaking for Flightline. I don't know that he's peaking for Flightline, and I'll take the 2 3-year-olds. But what I'm intrigued about, historical, all that is, I really think, you know, you look at these horses, Seth. I mean, it would be very interesting if Taba and Epicenter, where they would be if this goes 109 flat for 6 furlongs. Because I think Flightline would just be sitting there going, okay, and your point is? And I think they'd be like, we still got to, I just hope they go fast. I hope they go very fast, almost sprinter fast. I wouldn't be, 8-3 wouldn't bother me if Life is Good wants to go that fast. But I think he's the real deal. And I hope he does run again, because I personally have probably waited since Spectacular Bid, and Ghost Zapper is the only horse that enters the conversation for me this good. I mean, it's amazing that his Malibu, Met Mile, and the Pacific Classic, I mean, you don't even have to discuss the first two races, but I hope they go 109 flat, 108-4, and I want to see where they're all standing at the end. Because I think, as a pace guy, he's remarkable that the sprinting fractions don't matter for his route races. He's like, okay. And that's the sign of anyone who's ever run track and field, for your ability to go fast early and finish fast. I used to say about To Honor and Serve, what I never liked about him, he always went slow, fast, which is the opposite for me. But I'm interested. I think Taba's going to run well. That's going to be my cold exacta punch.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with Taba. Hot Rod Charlie, I think, could run well.
If you said the winner was 113, who can run 113? I'm looking forward, because I think Epicenter showed us a lot, particularly in the Traverse. Taba, I think, showed me a lot in the Pennsylvania Derby. Life is Good has certainly had his moments up to 9 furlongs. I think it's pretty well stated what I think about the Derby winner, Olympia. I mean, we'll see. But what I do hope happens is they go 109 or faster for 6 furlongs.
That would.
And if it's a souped-up track, I hope it's like 108-2, because I want to see that I think he will be standing after those paces.
And I will also note, you know, again, I had Mike Welch on, but if you've been watching Twitter, you know, Mike Welch confirmed it. Mike Welch said, man, I've never seen a horse with a stride that long. It's just, but everybody's been raving about, you know, he hasn't been doing serious, because he did a serious out in California mostly. But he's been out on the track in the morning, and everybody. And then it was a few days ago, he went out on the track and had, they said, about 3,000 people. And I was saying to Mike, it may have been that morning or the morning before, and I said to Mike, from looking at the pictures, it wasn't the same as American Pharoah at Saratoga when he went out, but it looked like a pretty good crowd. Mike then confirmed it. Mike said, well, let's keep our fingers crossed they keep them running. Maybe next year, the Whitney or the Jockey Club Gold Cup are on his agenda, and he shows up and does the morning and gets an American Pharoah-like crowd. I tend to think I will never see anything like that at the racetrack again, but he had a pretty good
it
crowd.
It is funny
that
how the sport is so divided that I don't think American Pharoah could warm him up, but it's the nature of the casual fan in the Triple Crown. I'm like, he.
Well, and is, that, yeah.
This was, guy is. I would get on a plane and fly and watch Flightline work out.
But that was his Triple Crown after a drought. Now he's up at Saratoga. He's coming out in the morning.
It was special. Yeah, I mean, things. It was crazy. I mean, Cigar never came. I mean, I hope he runs more because I haven't seen the likes of this in 42 years. And I beg to differ that I think his Pacific Classic might be the greatest performance I've ever seen on a racetrack. At the Classic American Distance.
I am not knocking it by any means, but I'm saying he's validated himself once at a mile and a quarter. It was phenomenal, but, you know.
And I always tell people, I go, you know that's country grammar, getting beat by, not twice a prince, a claimer.
That was, some
it's
people,
country
some,
grammar.
Some people were saying, well, you know, look at the field he beat, but it's country grammar.
It's a great Friday, Saturday. Remember, the race book is going to be open early. We've got early post times. We're going to run this back on the network Friday and Saturday morning, obviously in the applicable places. It's the greatest betting menu days of the year. There's nothing, I don't even think it's an opinion, that's even close to it. The wedding, I do think there's about two or three races that, you know, I don't think you'll need your ID to cash your ticket, but there's 11 that I think you might. And that's good.
Let me tout once again, the branches will open 11 a.m. on Friday. All the branches, first post on Friday, 11:55. Saturday, the clubhouse opens up at 9:30. All the other branches open
right
up
here
at 10 a.m. First post time is going to be 10:30. So again, Saturday, clubhouse opens at 9:30. All the other branches open at 10 a.m. And don't forget, we do have a couple of ginormous bankrolls, $2,000 bankrolls. The online team has already been selected. But I'll have a $2,000 bankroll to play on Saturday. And on Saturday, most of that team has already been selected, but there are still 10 open seats that will be decided on Saturday. So show up early on Saturday, put your name in the hat to potentially get on the bankroll team coming up on Saturday here at the Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany.
I'll speak to mine first, because give you a question. Your best play of the day as a function of, most times we get price. I'm not going to say flight line, folks. Simplification for me in the Dirt Mile. I know it's a race that a lot of people, you know, it's secondary level. It's not a championship race, but we're betting here. I mean, it's one of those things, like I said this years ago with Swain, the first year I ever worked for, did a Breeders' Cup preview of that. I would have taken a head-to-head with him versus Skipaway at any price that people wanted. I knew he was going to run big in the Classic. I didn't think he was going to go get popcorn and still beat Skipaway by a mile. But to me, I would be shocked if Simplification runs poorly on Saturday. I do love Clairiere, and I've never said that sentence, and it's a tough race. The Breeders' Cup Mile is annually one of the hardest races in the world, and I like Ivar very much in there. I do think American Apple is going to run very well, shortening up to 5.5 furlongs, kicking it off on Friday at about 3:00 in the juvenile turf sprint. But Simplification is to me one of the major thoughts.
I'd probably exact a box in the mile with Annapolis, Modern Games, Ivar in the mix, and Regal Glory, because so I do like each, Ivar's 15-1.
Yeah, we're each in a race that's annually one of the hardest.
10-1.
Oh, you're getting paid. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, in 11 of these 14 races, you're getting paid. I guess if Golden Powell wins the turf sprint, et cetera. But, and I've said this before, that it's really the only time I ever speak to our audience in giving them advice, and that is to spend Thursday, if you're watching this on Wednesday, is to think long and hard about the bets you want to make. You know, don't be doing this in between races. I mean, you have a chance to have your handicapping rewarded far better than any other day. And so, you know, think about it probably five times longer than you usually do. Like, for me, it's easy because I'm not betting the horizontal, so I don't have to think about that. And I have my exacta boxes set. I have my, you know, I'm set. Really, all that's left for me is the show plays in my trifecta part wheel boxes, and that's just going to be a function of bankroll.
So, tries for you, you're pyramiding, right?
It's usually like a one by five, by eight or nine.
Oh, so you you always single it? Not always, but you'll typically single.
Yeah. Because it's I don't know.
Well, I mean,
it's stupid sometimes.
The fact of the matter is, though, over the course of 2 days, you gotta come up with some.
I tell people all the time. I said, if you ever saw my ROI in the Breeders' Cup just in winners is like over $4. I have a map at home since the start. I mean, it's the day that I think they invented it for me. I mean, it's the ultimate 1 for 11. This would be my ultimate set where, what were you, 1 for 11? I crushed them. That's why the number of winners is less relevant. I told you this story before, didn't I? Let's go back to 1997. In the old race book, in the section that they used once a year, I'm up there, young person is waiting on me. She sees these whole slew of tickets. I mean, a slew. And she's like, oh, sir, I am so sorry. And I said, but this one takes care of all of these. And she they used to have to hire extra people on Derby Day and Breeders' Cup Day because 10 times.
Then your phone rang and John Gaines says, so how is this weekend working out for you?
Well, in those days, it was just a day. And I was like, very well, Mr. Gaines. Thank you very much. But great day of racing, great championships, great showdowns that, the three-year-olds taking on the four-year-olds. We finally get Epicenter and Taba. Cyberknife went to the mile, which is probably a good move for them. Yeah. But enjoy yourself, bet wisely, think about it, and enjoy the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.